Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Exactly. Verse 32, Paul said, we tell you the good news, what God promised our fathers, he fulfilled for us, the children, by raising up Jesus, as it is written in the second Psalm, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Now, don't get me wrong, Christ has always been the Son of God from all eternity. You had the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, just loving each other, just fellowshipping, just you know, loving on each other all throughout eternity. And that's not what he's talking about here. When he says, this day I've begotten you, what he is saying that now, the incarnate, when God put on human flesh, when he came to this world wrapped in human flesh and bones like us and became a man, after he was crucified, when God raised him from the dead, by that action, he demonstrated that Christ really is the Son of God. He's just not some guy walking around saying, yeah, I'm the Son of God. The Jews thought that's who he was. That's why they wanted to stone him at times. That's why they eventually killed him and crucified him. But as Scripture says in Romans 1:4, he was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by what? Resurrection from the dead. Because he rose from the dead, we know that he is who he claimed to be. Now, you can have a lot of people saying that there's somebody special. People claim all kinds of things all the time. You have Shirley MacLaine going around saying that she's God. I'm so glad she isn't. I saw a picture of her on a tabloid the other day at the supermarket. I am so glad that Shirley MacLaine is not God. I need a bigger God than that, frankly. If she was God, she needs to do something about that photograph, man, because that was not flattering at all. Man, people run around saying that they're Jesus. And I don't mean Jesus. I mean like they're saying that they're Jesus. You have people claim to be all kinds of stuff all the time. I remember one time I was coming home from work, sitting out from Annapolis. I was sitting out on Route 50 in traffic waiting to go across the bridge. And some young man comes. He's going from car to car. He comes up and he knocks on the window. And he's a clean cut, you know, healthy looking guy. He looks like a, you know, upright kind of guy. And he knocks on the window and I roll it down. He's like, I am in such dire need. I need to go see my sister. It's an emergency and I don't have a way to get there. She's over in Centerville. Can you possibly give me a ride? I said, sure. Get in the car. So he gets in and we get going. We're moving down the highway, going across the bridge, and all of a sudden he starts telling me all these people that he is. Next he moves on and starts telling me all the things that the voices in his head are saying to him. And I am thinking, oh no. Why did I let this guy in? And he's saying, the voices are now telling me, blah, 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 blah. You know, I felt like telling him, yeah, the voice in my head is telling me, you got to get out of my car right now, Jack. You know, time for you to take a hike, buddy. That's what my voices are saying. My voice has a message for the voices in your head, and it ain't pretty. So, you know, finally, you know, we get to Centerville, and he said, you can let me out here. I was like, sure, okay, have a nice day. People claim to be all kinds of things all the time. That doesn't mean that they are. Amen? But when Jesus Christ began saying to the folks that he was the Son of God, and he began to make himself equal with God by saying things like, before Abraham was, I am. And they knew exactly what he was saying by that. When he made those statements, he didn't just say it. He backed it up with action, with healings, with miracles, with signs and wonders, and ultimately by his resurrection from the dead. Because he rose from the dead, we know that he is who he claimed to be, and he is worthy of our deepest trust and faith. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you're not putting your faith in some vain pie in the sky, you know, wishy-washy hope. You're standing on solid rock. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead declares that with power. Buddha is dead. No disrespect to him. Muhammad is dead. No disrespect. Joseph Smith is dead. Jesus Christ is alive forevermore, and he has the keys to death and hell. So how do I know there is a God? How do I know that what I believe about him is true? How do I know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Finally, number four, how do I know that I will go to heaven when I die? Because we do die. It's appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. After this, the judgment. After this, God and I get together and everything I have said and done and possibly even thought, I am accountable for. I will stand before God and give an answer for everything in my life. There is coming a day when everybody who has ever lived will literally face Jesus Christ on the great white throne. And you will give an account for everything that you have done, every word you have spoken, behind closed doors, in public or in private. From the things that we are delighted about, that we cherish as memories, to the very things that we can't even talk about because they haunt us so deeply. We will give an account, the things done in the open and the things done in secret. It says in Ecclesiastes 12, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. And we all have secret things. We all have things we don't talk about. We all have things we wish never happened. If we could somehow, some way, turn back time and undo that and make it like it never took place, to change the course of history somehow for our lives. We all have mistakes. We all have regrets. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And God will bring every work into judgment. That can be a scary thing when you consider how much we have sinned in each of us in our life and how much we continue to sin even to this day. I include myself. The ninth commandment says, you shall not lie. But we do it all the time, don't we? I was watching Family Feud the other night. At the end of the show, they have the people get up one at a time and they have to answer five questions and try to guess what the most popular answer to those questions were in order to win $20,000. You guys ever watch Family Feud? Ever seen that? Yeah? Yeah. Okay. And I remember this one lady got up there. She's about 35 years old. You know, nice kind of lady. And so they set the timer, and he says, you ready? She says, I'm ready. And she says, okay. And the first question was, how old were you when you told your first lie? You know what she said? 10 years old. I'm like, girl, you're lying already. You were lying way before that, and you have not stopped lying since. 10 years old, give me a break. Almost jumped off the bed. Missy loves when that happens, man. I'm just like, you know, what? I want to throw a shoe at the TV. Give me a break. 10 years old? Yeah. She obviously, you know, if she doesn't remember, she obviously doesn't have any kids. Because they start lying before they can even talk. Crying and carrying on. Oh, I'm hurting. You just want attention. You just don't want to go to sleep. Lying through their, well, they don't have teeth yet. Lying through their gums, man. Also says you shouldn't steal, but if she lied to get $20,000, I think that's probably pretty close to stealing too. Her husband comes on after that and they said, you know, how old were you when you first lied? He said 5 years old. I'm like, I just can't take this anymore. But that's the problem. We have all sinned. We all continue to sin. We all continue to fall short. We rationalize our behavior. We compromise our behavior. We do things. We continue to do things in secret, looking over our shoulder. We talk about folks when they're not here. We say things we would never say to them if they were literally standing there to their face. We say things that we would never, to our loved ones, that we would never say to our friends. Sometimes we use words that are razor sharp, that slice our loved ones to shreds with things that we say to them that we would never dream of saying to someone on the job or at church or in the marketplace. We are deadly with the things that we say and the things that we do. And that's the problem. We have all sinned. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. No one can enter heaven who was guilty of sin. Did you get that? No one can enter heaven stained and defiled by sin, because it says in Scripture in Revelation 21:27, there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book in life.